we are marked and that we are called. That God has marked and called every single one of our lives. And wherever we find ourselves this morning, no matter how much stuff is upon us because of life's issues or many problems that we have been through, or maybe you're still on a journey of just trying to navigate through some things, God still says this morning that your life is marked and that you have been called. That's good news. The King of Kings has called you and marked you. And here's what Galatians 2:20 says, one of my favorite scriptures, that if we're Christians this morning, we've given our lives to God. This is what it says. My old self has been crucified with Christ. That sounds really bad until you remember that your old self was not really good. And then you're like, well, that's good news. My old self, my old addictive personality, my old habits, my old desires, my old kind of wants and things that were no good to me, they have been crucified with Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then this is what can happen. If you're looking for a new start, who isn't looking for a new start? Who isn't looking for a chance to start over sometimes? Then God says, I can do that for you if you'll give me your life. It is no longer I who live. This is Paul speaking, but you can put yourself there if you're a Christian this morning. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I mean, again, that can seem like a bad thing until you remember that you're not very good at getting out of bed sometimes. You're not very good at getting up and getting motivated. So then you're like, wow, Jesus lives inside of me? That is amazing, especially when you know he's so good, especially when you know he's so kind, especially when the desire of his heart is to save you from a lost eternity. That's what salvation's all about, to save you from a lost eternity and to give you an incredible hope in the future. I mean, that's the best Christmas gift that you will ever find. Apple can't do that for you. Argus cannot give you that, but Jesus can do that for your life. I want to encourage you this morning. This is good news. Getting saved is not a bad thing. Living for Jesus is not a bad thing. It is the most incredible thing that you can ever do. So here's the good news. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe this morning that sometimes one of the biggest battles that we face is to believe and live in the reality of that scripture. That it's no longer me living anymore. That it's no longer me living anymore. That it is Christ that lives through me. And here's the good news. I'm having faith in him, because that's what trusting means, to have faith, to trust in God, to give him your life, to trust him for every season, to trust him for every penny, to trust him in every circumstance. I'm trusting you because you're the Son of God, because you're the King of Kings. You died on the cross for me. And he loved me and gave his life for me. Is he not a God worth following? Is he not a God worth serving? The fact that he loved you and gave his life for you, that is incredible. And so as we come up to Christmas and we remind ourselves, what's this all about? What's this all about? What's this all about? It was that Jesus came and then eventually he went to the cross because he loved us. Why did he come? Because he loved us. Why did he go to the cross? Because he loved us. Is there many people out there that love you to this extent? That they would give their life for you? It's scary hard to believe sometimes. I know that. It's like, could that be true? It's so good, it is true. But it can only be true because he's not of this world. Because if he was of this world, then it just would be too good to be true. And we'd be like, no, just can't be true, can't be true. But God is not of this world. It tells us right in the Bible, right at the beginning, that before anything existed, God existed. He is supernatural. He is outside of time. He is outside of every issue. He is outside of every problem. And he is here this morning, and he is drawing you, and he's encouraging you, and he wants you for himself, not because he's selfish, but because he's selfless. And he says, if you'll come close to me, I will sustain you. I will love you. You can have faith in me. You can trust me. And your life will never be the same again. If you can find, here's a challenge. If you can find somebody better than that, go follow them. If you find them, keep following them. But I encourage you this morning, I don't think you find anybody quite like him. And maybe you have been following him for a while, or maybe you have been searching after him, or maybe you're still on a journey to find him, but you haven't found him yet. I encourage you, don't stop till you find this kind of Jesus. Don't stop until you're living a life serving and being empowered and loving a God like this, because our God laid his life down for us because he loved us. And now he wants to raise you up alive in him so that you can follow after the dreams and the calls and the destiny that he has put on your life. Can I encourage you this morning that you're marked and called? that you are marked and called by God, no matter where you find yourself today, no matter what you've done. I encourage you with this. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter what you've been through, or even no matter how you feel this morning, maybe you feel worthless, maybe you feel you're like, what could I really do? Or maybe you're sick, or maybe you're just in trouble. No matter what, you are marked and called, and you can never lose that. You can never lose it. But the thing, what you can do is forget to use it. Is to forget to go after that. Is to forget to say, wow, is God really for me? Has he really marked me? Has he really called me? He has. And we need to say yes to him this morning. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that is what we need to do. Here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this week. And he's been speaking to me this last few weeks. Is that life has been hard. Maybe it's been hard on you. Issues have happened. Times have come against you. Friends that you thought were there are not there. Maybe some people that you thought would have your back have not had your back. Maybe you've been out in the troubles of life and work hasn't worked out the way you hoped for. Maybe that promotion you went after didn't turn out the way you wanted. Maybe there was a house you were going for. Maybe there was this. Maybe there's a relationship. You name it, because you know what it is in your life. And the more that those things compound and the more that those things pile up, you know what it tends to do? They tend to put weight and pressure on us. And then we start to sink. So no matter what kind of joy you've had, no matter what kind of hope you've had, you find yourself underground instead of above ground. And then you start to doubt things and you start to worry and you start to forget. And you know what you do? You start to forget who you've been called to be. You stop forgetting that you've been marked. And you start thinking, maybe it's everybody else. And I encourage you this morning that you are marked and called of God. And he has got you here for purpose. And he's got you here for reason. And we need to remind ourselves and grab a hold of our lives, because God has promised us full life. And if we're not there yet, keep reaching for it. If we're not there yet, keep asking him for it, because he has promised full life. I wrote down a couple of quick things, and then I'll share three points this morning. But here's what he says. You're marked to have impact. Your life has been marked to have impact. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Don't let yourself tell you any different. Your life has been marked to have impact. Impact where? On the world, at the communities that you find yourself, the workplace that you're in, the university you're in, the family you're in, your life has been marked to have impact. Now, the scale of that impact is up to him, but I encourage you this morning that your life is there to have impact. Maybe you're having impact at the moment, but you're thinking, I want more, Lord. Well, that's fine. Just serve him, commit to him, and he'll increase you at the right time, at the right season, but don't diminish what you're having impact with right now. But if you find yourself not having any impact, if you find yourself having no impact, then say, God, help me, because you have made me to be a person of impact. You have made me to be a person of impact. Why? Because we're made in his image. The Bible tells us that right from the very beginning, Genesis 1, that we are made in his image. And if we're made in God's image, then we're going to become like him. And everything he has planned for us and everything that he has done, he says, you will do likewise. You will go and do it. So we have been marked for impact. Here's the second thing, we've been marked for purpose. Ever find yourself waking up and saying to yourself, hey, what am I going to do today? I mean, if that starts to happen day after day after day, it's no wonder that you're going to find yourself depressed and disillusioned, because you have been marked and made for purpose. So we need purpose in our lives, even if it starts off small and it increases, but we need purpose in our lives. Why do we encourage so many people in church to serve? Why do we encourage so many people to be servants? Because that's the reality of our lives. If you're a Christian, you're a servant. If you're a Christian, then you're a servant. And if you're a servant, then you want to serve. And so one of the best places to serve is in the house of the Lord. But one of the other best places to serve is the act of your life. Just wherever you go, I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant. It doesn't seem that great until you realize Jesus was the greatest servant, until you realize the truth of the word that says those who be last shall be first, and those who are the least will be the greatest. Because the word is completely different than the world, amen? It's just completely different. The world flatters, but it deceives us. It draws us to this path and says, if you do this, it's all going to work out perfectly for you. And then we've seen hundreds of thousands go that way and still be disillusioned and still be disheartened. And so the only way is God's way. And when we follow after him, we'll realize, I need to be a servant. Because being a servant unlocks the kingdom of God. When I'm a servant to him, when I'm a servant to you, then he blesses me. When I'm a servant, you're a servant. We all start to serve and honor and love each other. And what happens? We become just like Christ. We become just like him. You see, we were made for purpose. not just our own purposes, but his purposes. Can I call you to greater things this morning? You've been marked for impact, but not just impact in your own life, impact for the kingdom. So to know what that is, you've got to ask God. You've got to walk with God. You've got to talk with him. You've been marked for purpose this morning. So to know what those purposes are, they're not just your purposes. They are kingdom purposes. So you're here to do great things. You might have thought you'd just come to church, but God says, no, I'm setting you up to be a person of purpose this week. Every place that you go, it's a kingdom purpose, and God's calling you to it. You're a person of purpose. What else? We're a person of significance. And we've been marked for significance. And I think this is one of the challenges in our lives. We've got to remind ourselves that God has made us significant. And if we don't remind ourselves of that, we start to become insignificant. And when you become insignificant, you start to say to yourself, well, there's probably nothing I can offer and there's probably nothing I can do. That is the tactic of the enemy. That's what life wants to tell you. That's what even sometimes your friends want to tell you because they're jealous of you. But God says you're a person of significance, and in every season, there's something significant for you to do, not only for yourself, but for the kingdom of God. God is here this morning, and he has marked and called you. And the last one, he marked as his own. Marked as his own. Here's what 2 Corinthians 1:21 says. This is so beautiful. He has anointed us. See how rich this verse is. And he speaks this over your head this morning. He has anointed us. In other words, he has anointed you with oil. When you get anointed, it means you're precious. When you get anointed, it means I want this person to stand out. When you get anointed, it says this person is worth it. Anything that is anointed is worth it. Anything that is anointed is blessed. Anything that is anointed is significant with purpose, and it is marked. That is you this morning. You are anointed. He has set his seal of ownership on you. I love this, that he has set his seal of ownership on you. So even when you think that you're worthless and you're hopeless, if you will dig deep enough, you'll find a stamp from the maker himself, and it will say, I made you. And if I made you, then you're precious, you're perfect, you are important. It's in there on us. This is what he promises. He has set his seal of ownership on us. He has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Wow. As a deposit. Anybody think about money this year? Well, God says, I'm greater than that, and I've set my Holy Spirit inside of you as a deposit. What is he depositing for? As a guarantee of what's to come. Of a guarantee. Even when everything doesn't work out the way we want it to here in this life, even though God has promised abundant life, we know that we live in a sinful environment, and we know that things don't always work out the way we want them to do. Don't base your relationship on God based on how everything works out, because it's going to be doomed to fail. Can I tell you that we live in a broken world? So expect when you follow God that you're going to follow him into broken things. That's what he had to do. Everywhere he went, he met broken things. But here was the difference. He didn't get despondent. He got encouraged, and he made a difference in their lives instead of them making a difference in his life. It's not arrogance. It's just a blessing of the kingdom of God. We have light and life inside of us. You have been marked and called. Do not hide any longer. Do not hold back any longer. Do not defeat yourself for any longer, but instead get out there and do what God has called you to do, which is a person of significance, which is a person that says, there's a down payment inside of me. The Holy Spirit is inside of me. There's a deposit inside of me which guarantees what's to come. It guarantees my eternal salvation. It guarantees my place in heaven. And heaven is a place that you want to get to. I want to do three things this morning. We're going to look at where we can find ourselves hiding, where we can find ourselves missing, because we have been marked and called. First one this morning, we have been chosen, but we're hiding. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it this morning. I'll paraphrase and then I'll read a couple of scriptures. But way back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, we looked at 1 Samuel 1 this morning for the dedication. That's when Hannah speaks about her son and says, if I could have a son, I will dedicate him to the Lord. But 14 chapters over, we come to Jonathan and his armor bearer. And to set the scene for you, there's King Saul. He's the Israelite king. He's God's chosen king. He's got a son called Jonathan, and he's a bit of an upstart, and he fancies going out looking for a fight. And he decides, I'm going out looking for a fight today. He says, I'm going after the Philistines. They've beat us up time and time again. Anybody like going for a fight? Maybe shouldn't indicate that, but maybe you like going for a fight. King Saul's son Jonathan liked to go looking for a fight, and he goes out looking for a fight, and he finds those pesky Philistines, and he says, I'm going to take them out because they've been attacking us, they've been hurting us, and we are the chosen of God, and we're not going to let them run amok any longer. And so he goes out, and they win an incredible war against them, and there's not time to tell you the story, but just let you know that they go up against impossible odds. It's just Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they defeat the whole army or the whole garrison of men there because God is with them. But this is what it says in 1 Samuel 14:20. This is a bit I want to bring to our attention this morning. It says, then Saul and all his men, now the king and all his men are going to catch up with what Jonathan's already done. They rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. I mean, this is the bad guys killing themselves. This is not what's supposed to happen. This doesn't usually happen. There was a terrible confusion everywhere. Verse 21, even the Hebrews, which are the Israelites, who had previously gone over to the Philistine army, revolted and joined in with Saul and Jonathan and the rest of the Israelites. Okay, let's pause just for a second. Did you read what just happened? Said even the Israelites who had been away off living with the enemy decided to come back. Ever find yourself as a God's chosen person, but you find yourself just a way off hiding with the enemy, just off doing your own thing, just off living your own life? I mean, God's saying this morning, I need to get you back. I need to get you back because that's not where you're supposed to be. Then it goes on, likewise, verse 22, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hills of Ephraim joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. I mean, you always get those kind of guys that aren't in the battle, but they see the battle going on, they see the victory, and then they jump out quick and get into the victory crowd because they want to be part of the win. I mean, this is what happens sometimes, you know? It's like they've been hiding in the hills. They start to see that their side's winning again. They jump out quick and they say, yeah, I'm a winner. You are marked and called this morning. But here's two groups of people that find themselves living with the enemy, hiding with the enemy, and hiding in the hills. Can I encourage you this morning? If you're hiding in the hills or hiding with the enemy, you got to come back out again. You got to come back out. You've not been made for that. You've not been made for that. You'll never be truly satisfied. You'll never get what you want. It will not end the way you want it to be. It will just pull you down. It will not lift you up. Don't hide in the hills. God is with you. Even when you're hiding, he's there. You can't run away from him. He is there with you. But these guys were hiding in the hills, and when victory came, they came out. Maybe you're going to have to be the person that comes out and makes the difference, because what happens that changes everything? Verse 6, this is Jonathan's outrageous faith. Let's go across to the outpost of these pagans. He just says these godless ones. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. You're either going to find yourself as a person who's ready to go to battle, and if you are, then go for it, because as you go, you're going to win some other people back. Maybe you're here this morning, you're going for God. Do not be discouraged. There are people that are hiding in the hills, and there are people that are with the enemy, that as you go, you're going to bring them back. But also, don't be discouraged and dismayed any longer if you're hiding and if you're with the enemy. Just start to come back out again. Start to come back out, because Jesus, the greatest Jonathan, has already been to the cross. Jesus, the greatest Jonathan, has already defeated the enemy. So just remind yourself of the cross and say, hey, we've already won. It's time to come back out. If you find yourself hiding, if you find yourself stuck with the enemy, ask Jesus to help you. He will sever ties. He will allow you to come out. He will break you free, and he will bring you back. So maybe you've been chosen, but you're hiding. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been marked, but you're missing. Let me tell you a funny story. Years ago, whenever I was helping Dad out in the farm, he used to kind of make me do it. I didn't really want to do it that much. And the work would always last longer than he promised. He would say, only for an hour or so. And before you know it, it was 12 hours later. It was like, oh my goodness. So what I used to realize, the only way out of this thing was to just keep on going. But the minute I get his back turned, I'm away. I'm absolutely away. There was no real things as mobiles back then, or at least he didn't have one. And I had an old WAP phone. There was no way to get me, and I was turning it off quick. I was chosen, but I was trying to get out of there. I was chosen, but I was trying to get away. I was chosen, but I was missing. I was called, but I was missing. Ever find yourself trying to do something, and you've got a team of guys around you, and then as soon as you turn your back, they're away? I mean, you thought that they were with you, but they're missing. They're not there. This happened time and time again, all the way from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and it happens today. And maybe you're here this morning in physical form, but you're not really here. You know, the lights are on, but there's nobody home. You know, ever find yourself like that? You're here, but you're not really here. You're thinking about the football. You're already thinking about what you've got to do this week. It's like you're distracted. There's something else going on. Can I encourage you this morning? When the battle really heats up, you don't want to be missing. You don't want to be missing, because life is a battle. And again, we want to win, and God's called us to win because he is with us. And even when we lose on a day-to-day basis, we go to heaven, which is eternal victory. It's eternal victory. But we are more than conquerors, even in this life, because nothing can hold us back. 1 Samuel. We're going to go 3 chapters on again. I'll encourage you to read these later on. 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David and Goliath. Anybody remember that story? Really famous story about this upstart young guy who says he's going to beat Goliath. But I don't want to think about that part of the story. I want to see the other part of the story. You know what happens. David goes and says, hey, I'm going to beat that Goliath guy. He's 9 foot tall. I'm going to chop his head off. He does. He kills him. He sets the people free, and the Philistines are losing again. And God's name is high and glorious. But what happens to the rest of the guys? Because there was a whole army there. 1 Samuel 17:8 says, Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across the Israelites. Again, God's chosen people. Why are you all coming out to fight, he called. I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. That was a lie. Watch for the enemy to come and tell you a lie. They were not servants of Saul. They were servants of the Most High God. But Goliath didn't want them to know that. Remember, the enemy's going to come and lie to you. You're not significant. You're nothing special. Look at all the rubbish that you've done in your life. Nobody's even there for you. There's nobody you can even phone or call. There's just nobody even knows about you. Hey, if you weren't even here, what would be that? It would be no big deal. You might as well move away. Nobody's here for you. That's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy came so subtle. It says, sure, you're only servants of Saul. No, they were not servants of Saul. They were servants of God. They were servants of God. But the enemy will come to try and dismay you. He says, choose one man to come here and fight for me. If he kills me, then I'll be your slave. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. He didn't. He was defying the armies of God. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. They were there, but they were missing. They were on the battlefield, but they were of no use. They were at the battlefront. They were at the coalface, but they didn't know what to do. They were there, but they were missing. They were in the heat of the battle, but there was nothing there about them. They'd forgotten who they were. They'd listened to the eyes of the enemy. Can I just ask the question this morning? Maybe you're God's, but you've forgotten who you are. Maybe you've once walked with him, but you've gone missing. Maybe you find yourself going this way when you should have been going that way. Maybe you find yourself in a position where you needed to stand up and stand out, but you sat down. You retreated inward. If you're there this morning, allow the Lord to bring you out, because here's what happens. David comes and says, verse 26, David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and end his defiance of Israel? I just love this young guy. All he's thinking about is the reward. Anybody thinking about the reward? That's fine. Think about the money if you want the money. But here's the heart of David. He said, I've killed before. I've taken out lions and bears before. This guy, he's no match for our God. He wasn't saying he's no match for me. He was just simply saying he is no match for our God because God's with me. You can be confident. You can have humility and confidence both at the same time. I believe if you're marked and called, that's what you need to have, a confident humility. I can do nothing of myself, but you see with God, there's nothing I cannot do. You see with God, even when I'm going through a dark season, even when my family's going through turmoil, even when I don't know what to do next, I'm so full of hope because I've got God. In fact, I'm unstoppable. That's a confident humility. If it gets any greater than that, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do whatever I want. No. I do what God asks me to do. I go as he leads me. I say, not my will, but yours, Lord. I allow him to sustain me. That's the way of it. This is what David was saying. But he already knew in his heart that this guy was defeated because he had stood up against the armies of the Lord. There's no way he has any match for this. And so he says it the next part of the verse. What will a man get? He said, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the Lord? Who is this man anyway? That's sometimes what we need to say to ourselves. We know who God is, but I don't know who you are. When somebody comes to try and discourage us, or someone tries to derail us, or just wee bits try to come to just hamper us, and wee things start to line up, before you know it, it's like a domino effect, and you find yourself, man, what do I do next? Where do I go? Encourage yourself back with the greater truth. That even when I'm facing all the things that I am facing, God is greater than all of those things. And is it true? It is true. He has marked and called you. And he is not finished with you, and you're marked for significance, you're marked for impact, you're marked with purpose, and you're marked to make a difference because you are his. And then the last one this morning, I'll allow it again to talk to your heart. You're called by God, but you're caught up. You're called by him, but you're caught up. One of the biggest traps of our lives is busyness, but we're busy doing I don't know what, busy doing things that we don't need to be busy about. And how do we know this? Because the moment something happens or a catastrophe takes place in our lives, we find ourselves not able to do any of it, and it seems to go on okay. It seems to go on okay. What we're being told day after day is if you're not busy, you're not worthy. If you're not busy, you're not achieving. If you're not busy, you're of no value. If you're not busy, you're not really living the life that God's called you to live. Or they might not. Well, some will, but most will just say, if you're not busy, you're not significant. God says no. When you're a person of rest, you're significant. When you're a person that knows my will, you're significant. When you're moving in step with me, you are significant. Don't get caught whenever you're called. Whenever you're called by God, be ready to go after the things he's called you to. Or if it's not busyness, it's like, I'm waiting for something significant to come. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're waiting for a worldwide ministry to open up. You're like waiting for that phone call. Somebody's going to call me. I'm going to be a worldwide evangelist or whatever it is. Like, or I'm just waiting for Arsenal. I know you're waiting for them. And they're going to call me and they're going to ask me to be their next manager or be their next whatever, number 11, number 9. I'm going to score the goals. It's going to transform them into a Premiership winning team, amen? You're all behind me. You're all there. No, but here's the craziness of it. God wants us to dream big, but don't get called and then be caught because you're still waiting for something over here when God's saying, hey, would you just help out that family? Would you just do a food hamper? Would you aim for that? Would you even aim for that? Because that would be a big step. Would you aim for that? Because that will make a big difference in a person's life. You're like, no, I don't have time for that. I'm at home practicing because I'm going to be the next worship leader of the world. You know, that's what I'm going for. And there's nothing wrong with having big dreams, but make sure that as you're being called, you're not being caught. Here's the real truth, and it's not to dampen your spirits, but only a few are really called to something really big, worldwide type of thing. If that's even the most important thing. Most are called to several small things, like help here, help there, make a difference here, make a difference with that one, with that one, with that one, with that one. You never know, by the end of it, you might have reached 100 people in the year. Guys, we have to get away from this X factor mentality that says, if I could only get in the show for 10 weeks, I'd be a superstar. That is not the way of the kingdom. You know what the flip side of the 10 weeks is? Depressed and disillusioned because they hit number one for once in their whole lives, and then the only way after that is dying. Dying, 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 which is discouragement. God is here this morning, and he has called you, and he has marked you, and he is for you. And he says, don't get caught with ideas that are not my ideas, but instead stay close to me. Now, whatever God calls you to, be encouraged, be excited, go for it. But raise your eyes to him. Don't raise your eyes to anything else because too many have been called but have been caught by waiting for something that was never them or was a million miles away. Can I finish with a couple of quick ones and then we really are done? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Here's what all references in the New Testament tells us. Every time calling came to his people, guess what the primary call was? It was a call to Jesus. It was a call to Jesus. It wasn't to any big significant role. It wasn't to some big, I don't know, whatever it would be in your dreams. Not that God hasn't got them for you. But the number one call and the number one thing in all of the New Testament when God would call people would be a call to Jesus. A call to devote your life to him. A call to live surrendered to him. A call to say, I am with God and I am for him. And here was the two biggest calls that he gave us, was to love God with all of our hearts, and love people as ourselves. I know that part's a lot trickier, but to love people even better than ourselves. And how that looks in a real life practical sense is that we are obedient to God. So we're saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, what's my challenges today? God, where are you calling me today? I'm obedient to God. I know obedience doesn't sound cool, but obedience to a wonderful God is incredible. It is incredible. I want to be obedient to you. I want to listen for your voice. I want to do what you've called me to do. And then the last one, if I'm to love people, then how does that work out? I have to care for them practically. I have to care for them physically. I have to care for them. How many people are we caring for at the moment? Can I encourage you with that? Again, I believe one of the biggest tactics that the enemy uses to take us out of our calling and to take us away from this idea of that we're marked is to say, you've no time to help anybody else. You just no time to help anybody else. You just have to take care of yourself. That's okay, you can play the music, it's cool. But you are, it doesn't put me off, but you are marked and you're called. You're marked and you're called. love God, love people. Obey God, take care of people. It's really that simple. It sounds too simple, doesn't it? But when we do that, everything changes. Now, you might have got to that part all successfully, but then you're saying, but I know plenty of people don't do that. Don't get transfixed and fixed on everybody else. Just think about you. For that moment, for this moment, think about you. What can I do? Don't worry about all the bad examples that you've seen. Look to Jesus. He's the best example. Look to him and say, okay, Jesus, if you said it, and you know better than me, and you made me, and you've got significant plans for me, and you've told me that I'm called and marked, that sounds pretty good. I want that, Lord. Now, don't get disillusioned by everybody else that's done it wrong, because at some point you have to reset. You have to reboot the machine. You got to reset the system. Why couldn't it be through you? Again, you may be thinking, well, I'm just going to be a dog's body. I'm just going to be this. I'm going to be that. No. You're going to be called and significant. You'll be called and significant. I encourage you with one last thing. Jesus said that he never gave his life to, no one ever took his life from him. No one ever took his life from him. He chose to lay it down because he was always a son. He was always in control. He was always powerful. To live as a Christian is to be ultimate powerful. To live as a Christian is to be an ultimate servant. To live as that means we aren't what someone calls us to be. We are what he has called us to be. Follow after his voice. Serve him with everything you've got and love people around you. And watch how your life just starts to change, because that's what he has called us to be. We are marked and called of God.